Hi, I'm Susan Lewis. I spoke with curator Judith Dolkart, formerly Deputy Director of Art and Archival Collections at the Barnes Foundation, now the Director of the Addison Gallery of American Art at Phillips Academy in Andover, Massachusetts. She put together two special exhibitions at the Barnes exploring the collector's fascination with metalwork. One exhibition showcasing wrought iron objects from the Musée Le Sectet Tournel in France. The other exhibition, a commission in which artist Ellen Harvey responded to the wrought iron in the Barnes collection. As we sat outside the gallery, I asked her first how these special exhibitions came about.
Right around the same time, Sylvain Amique visited and Ellen Harvey visited. And when Sylvain explained about Musée Le Sectet Tournel, which has 15,000 pieces of wrought iron, I wanted to go in that direction. And really, almost at the same time, Ellen Harvey visited and proposed a project that would respond to the wrought iron holdings at the Barnes. And it seemed that the two shows, hosting them at the same time, would complement one another. The one from Rouen to recontextualize what Barnes collected, to show why he was fascinated in the material, and Ellen's show to explain really what it's like to present or to arrange a collection, and specifically why Barnes was interested in wrought iron, in that he really viewed it as just as important as his paintings.
So these exhibitions, what do they say about why Barnes was doing this? Was he that exceptional when he was doing this? Obviously, there was this other collection.
Well, I think most people tended to collect a certain kind of media, either just paintings and present them, or if maybe they collected, as Barnes did, furniture. The furniture might be in a different area of their collection than the paintings. Barnes mixed everything up because he had such an iconoclastic, democratic view of the arts, that no one art form was superior to any other. And I think that what you see in the Le Sec is a sort of connoisseurial collecting of one medium, and also a kind of encyclopedic collecting every kind of object made in that medium. So, for example, in the Le Sec collection, you have literally hundreds, if not thousands, of keyhole escutcheons, or you might have a dozen or so kinds of coffee mills, where Barnes may have collected similar kinds of materials, but not really necessarily to focus on that object and how it was different from this one, but really to unify his collection and to use the forms of the wrought iron to draw connections between the paintings in his collection, to underscore their forms and to create harmonies in his ensembles.
So he was different in that he was integrating metal into other media.
Exactly. He was using the metal to draw connections between his paintings.
And he was focused especially on form and how that related to the other elements of the other artwork.
Exactly. So he was looking at a hinge, let's say, and how its form might underscore, you know, sort of the round curves of a female body, where the Le Sec collection is sort of much more about a kind of connoisseurial, chronological presentation of a body of material over time. How does the hinge change over time? Not necessarily the form of the hinge relates to other kinds of objects.
So how does this exhibition change, or does it change the way you go back and look at Barnes collection?
Well, I think one of the things that people ask about the wrought iron so often is, why is it here? And in fact, the American artist Stuart Davis asked that of Barnes. And Barnes wrote back and he said, you know, there are two principal reasons why we have the wrought iron. One is because the forms underscore forms in the paintings. The second is because the makers of this antique wrought iron are just as authentic an artist as a Titian, a Renoir, or a Cézanne. In the collections at the Musée Le Sectet Tournel, I think what you'll see in these is the kind of artistry that Barnes really valued. These are works of technical innovation. These works are to wrought iron what Barnes's paintings were to painting. In other words, they showed the same kind of creativity and technical virtuosity for wrought iron that the artists in the Barnes collection displayed for painting.
And were they regarded as art or function?
It sort of depended on the function of the object. So, for example, people who made locks and keys, that was actually elevated to a fine art at one point in its history. It may not be necessarily true for the makers of, let's say, some part of your door hardware.
But you also have signposts that clearly look as if they're art.
Oh, yeah. The signs are terrific. And there's one in there that is a dog, and it looks like it could have been made by Alexander Calder. I mean, it's really a remarkable piece. And those, too, have a lot of jokes and witticisms in them. Because they were made for people who were illiterate, they had to, or for populations where many, many people were illiterate, they had to immediately convey what the business did. They are communication devices.
And then Ellen Harvey's response to Barnes' collection, it's a wonderful mural where every single item of Barnes's metalwork is represented. Its form is represented on a flat magnet that can be moved around.
Right, right. So I think what's interesting there is that, you know, she creates these portraits, essentially, of the wrought iron objects in the Barnes collection. When you look at actually portraits in the Barnes collection, most of those people are fairly modest people. In fact, people who are often marginalized, just as wrought iron was in the world of arts. These are considered sort of modest objects, and by creating portraits of them, she's sort of elevating them, bringing them to a kind of new kind of appreciation, which is something similar that Barnes was doing just by inserting them into his collection.
That's great. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.